It's a purple pants. It's a purple pants. It's a purple pants. What's going on, Purple Podcast listeners? This is Lauren Ashley Beck, season 39, Island of the Idols finalist. I just wanted to say, if you're trying to unwind, you better get your box wine, put your headphones in, and listen up quick. You know what it is. Woo, chalet. Oh, grrr.
It's the purple pants, it's the purple pants, it's the purple pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the purple pants podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the purple pants podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the purple pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the purple pants, it's the purple pants.
Woo, chale, and welcome to this week's episode of the Purple Pants Podcast. I am your host, Bryce Isaiah, and you already know we go together. What's been going on? What's popping? I hope everybody is doing good. Yes. Listen, we're going to start right off because, listen, I had to wet my whistle. It has been a warm weekend in Philadelphia, and I am here for it. It got up to like 65 today. I got my windows open, so I said, let me wet the whistle. So you know I'm wetting the whistle. You know, here in Philly we have a store called Wawa. Now if y'all don't know what a Wawa is, you need to know. It is kind of sort of like a 7-Eleven A plus convenience store that has a deli, but it is a national treasure here in Pennsylvania. So I had went and got me a little juice from Wawa, a little watermelon lemonade, and I'm mixing it with some Tito's. Okay. Delish. So you already know. Listen, it's burning up, but listen, we going to get it popping. Busy as a bee, as always. So this week I was running around doing what I had to do. And, you know, Lauren Ashley Beck was in town. My friend, and you know Lauren Ashley Beck, you know, she was on that intrizzo. She's on season 39. She made it to the top five. She came into town. My friend Desi from Heroes Hustlers. And I don't even know what the other one. Healers and Hustlers. She happened to be in town visiting family, so we all were able to get together. Me, Wendell, Lauren, Desi, and Ramona. We all got together to have some dinner. And let me just tell you how Ramona from season one, she is the greatest of all time. I just love Ramona. I'm so happy to have the opportunity to call her my friend. And whenever me and Ramona get around, we just like, we as little kids. So I love Ramona. So we were all able to hang out, have a good time, talk Survivor. You know, we were trying to pick Wendell's head. Like, what's going on in season 40? Tell us what's going on. And you know, Wendell's like, I don't know. I don't know. You gotta watch. But yes. And then I did an escape room on Friday with a family, a lovely family that's so nice. So we all did the escape room, me, Wendell, and this amazing family from Ardboard. So their son is a huge Survivor fan. And we watched Survivor with them together, and we become like family. So I was just busy as a bee, you know, trying to get ready for work, trying to listen. I've been trying to declutter my house because I like openness, okay? And I don't know about y'all, but I be like keeping on stuff. I find things from trips, and I'm like, oh, I want to save it. I want to remember it for the rest of my life. But listen, I'm trying to declutter. So I was out here cleaning and decluttering, trying to, you know, bring 2020 in right, okay? So that's what your baby boy been up to. But listen, we got a jam-packed episode, okay? I am so excited about this episode. Listen, but if you guys are listening now, if you could please subscribe to this podcast, if you could rate me, if you could give me a review, come on, I be reading them reviews, okay? Somebody gave me a 1-star, and it wasn't my mom this time. So who I gotta fight? Who trying to fight me? What's up? Pull up. So yes, if you guys could subscribe, ooh, you got me stuttering, that would be amazing. So this week on the episode, listen, you know we got our church announcements, okay? On the menu this week, finally, I get to talk about 60 Days In. I've been telling y'all to get up on it. We are 2 episodes in, so I got a lot to say. Life After Lockup, yes, okay? Angela's back.
Hi, Bryce.
Okay, we got Lacey. Okay, we got some more people I need to introduce y'all to, okay? Then I'm spilling some tea on Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, okay? It's a lot going on. We got the first Purple Pants Premonitions of 2020, so I know y'all need to tune in for that. You know we got the Purple Pants Picks, okay? Listen, we got Advice with Bryce, and I'm starting a new segment. We have a message from Barb. Ooh, you know Barb always just wanting to do something. And so, listen, we got a message from Barb. And listen, we got the freak of the week. So, get your wet your whistles, pop your popcorn, put your headphones in, and listen up quick, because it's a purple pants. So, wait, let me wet my whistle, though. Let me wet the whistle. It's so good. Y'all don't even understand. All right. So first on the Purple Pants church announcements. I always tell you guys this platform is meant for me to be transparent with you guys. It's meant for us. We go together. And I mean that. Okay. And so I just like to be transparent and just let y'all know what's going on in my life. You know, if I'm up, I'm up. If I'm down, I'm down. But I will be honest with you guys. The last couple of weeks, I have been in a nasty little funk. Like, truly. And I try to, like, you know, when I go out with my friends, I try to paint on a smiley face, but I'll be honest, guys, I've been struggling, and I don't know really what it is. Well, I kind of, like, pinpointed it, but I've just been, like, laying in the bed. I've just been, like, not wanting to go out, not answering people's phone calls. I've been eating, and, you know, just, you know, because food just makes me feel so good. But I've just been really in a funk, and I've been trying to get myself out of the funk, and it's just so hard. And believe it or not, I'm really a private person with my emotions, like, you know, my personal emotions. And so I don't really let a lot of people in. But, you know, I was talking to my mom this week, and I was like, you know what, let me just tell my mom. I don't like to tell my mom a lot of things, because it's like I tell my mom one thing and then it's like that's all the thing she wants to talk about. Are you okay? But the good thing about me and Barb's relationship is, like, you know, my mom is my mom, but my mom is also my friend. So I was like, you know, just telling her, like, you know, I'm just not happy. I started this new job. I don't love it. It's not that I hate it. I don't love it. I just feel like, I don't know. I just feel in a weird place, and I'm just, like, not happy. I wake up in the morning, and I'm just like, ugh, it's the last thing that I want to do. And so then my mom reminded me. She was like, well, you know, the anniversary of your brother's death is coming up. And, you know, I didn't really think about it like that, you know. So I have an older brother. His name's Bevin, and, you know, about 5 years this year, he passed away, and, you know, it really affected our family a lot. And so, you know, my brother was, like, so similar to me. I always say my brother Bevin was, like, the straight version of me. Like, when I was, like, growing up, I wanted to be like my brother. My brother was, like, handsome. He could dance. He always was, like, the life of the party. And I just was, like, you know, I used to idolize him. And so the fact that my brother is not here anymore, it really takes a toll on me. And I tried to act like it does not affect me, but obviously, like, you know, the way that it comes out in me, it's like, you know, sometimes I go through a depression this time of year. And so, like, you know, I was talking to my mom about it. I actually was talking to Desi about it. You know, I've opened up a little bit to my other friends, and, you know, just letting them know what's going on with me. And to my surprise, they've been so supportive. They've been sending me, like, messages, you know, encouraging songs, and it really just means a lot to me. And so I just wanted to share that with you guys, to just say that, like, if you guys are going through a funk, if you know you've got things, and sometimes we don't even know why we're going through a funk, but, you know, sometimes, you know, let some people in, like, let your friends in, let somebody know what's going on. Because I really, like, you know, the other day Desi, like, sent me a song. She sent me a Janae Aoki song called Ways, W.A.Y.S. and it was such an inspirational song, and I've been listening to it nonstop. And it's just like, you know, telling you, like, you got to keep going. Like, life, no one said life was going to be easy. It's got its ups and downs, but listen, like, we're built for this. And so I just wanted to share that with my Purple Pants posse, just to let you guys know that, you know, although you might get this, yeah, you know, rah-rah Bryce, but, you know, I'm still human. I still hurt like you guys, and I've been struggling. And so I just wanted to share that with you. And I was telling one of my friends, and they was like, well, you should talk about it on the Purple Pants Posse. And I'm like, no, I don't want to be, like, you know, a Debbie Downer. I don't want, like, you know, and they're like, well, see, that's your ego. Don't let your ego get in the way of, like, you know, you really being able to help somebody. And so I just, again, wanted to share that with you guys. So keep me in your thoughts. As you know, I always keep y'all in my thoughts. So second on the church announcements, listen, baby boy on a budget, okay? And I have to get rid of my cable service. So here in, like, Philadelphia, we have, like, Comcast, Xfinity. They're, like, the major cable provider. And baby, it's just me. And my, no lie, like, my cable bill is, like, $300 a month. And I pay it faithfully. But I'm tired of paying it. And so I really want to, like, go into, like, the streaming services. But see, my issue is I like DVR. I like the movies. I like HBO. I like Stars. And so I'm asking my Purple Pants posses, if any of you guys don't have cable and you guys stream, let me know what you guys use. I need some recommendations because I really, like, at the end of January, I really want to get rid of cable. And mind you, I probably will keep them for the Wi-Fi, but I want to get rid of them. They take up too much of my money. And so if you guys, like, you, if you use Google TV or YouTube TV or other streaming services, let me know because I really need some advice. Tweet me, DM me, write me a message, let me know. But I really want, DVR is a must. I definitely want the regular. I need Bravo. I need A&E. I need WeTV. I need MTV. Like, you know, I need, like, the basic channels like that. And I like HBO and Stars. So I was thinking maybe I probably could do, like, two streaming services at once so I have them all together. But I don't know, Purple Pants Posse, I'm, like, lost. So we go together. So help baby boy out. I appreciate it. And then, last on the church announcements, again, I'm going to keep running and keep running. You know, Winners at War, February 12th. Y'all know my best friend, Wendell Holland, is competing. So you know, I have to throw a viewing party. You know, Bryson Wynn presents the watch party. So stay tuned here on the Purple Pants Podcast. I will give you the exclusive details on our watch parties. And, you know, we taking it on the road, too. It's not just going to be in Philly. You know, we got to come to Atlanta. And, you know, we need to come to other cities. So if you want a Bryson Wynn presents watch party in your city, tweet us. Let me know what's popping. Okay? But, yes, that's going to be our church announcement. Now, let's get into this menu. 60 Days In. Now, this is one of my favorite shows, so I'm so excited I get to share it with the Purple Pants Posse. So, the purpose of the show is that outside civilians will go into a different type, a different jail each season. And basically their goal is to be sort of like a mole in the jail. And they are supposed to be in there for 60 days to live as an inmate, to basically, like, see what it's like as an inmate, also to provide helpful information to the jail administration about, like, what they can change and improve. And you know, we had my girl Steph on here talking about her experience on 60 Days In. But baby, this season, they in Alabama, honey. Okay, they in the South. All right, and so they got six contestants. Okay, so we got Ashley. She's a police officer. She's in the National Guard. We got Dennis. Now, baby, let me tell you about Dennis. Whoo, Chile. He is a chocolate delight. Oh, Dennis, like 6'4". He used to play college quarterback. He's, like, super, super, super cocky. But, whoo, baby, Dennis look all right. Okay, Dennis, you trying to be in the Zaddy calendar or what? Then we've got Alex. He's a political major, he majors in political, listen, you see me messing up already. He is a political science major. And mind you, he's a little quirky. He reminds me of a Christian Yubiki. I really feel like Alex is going to be our favorite one. Then we've got Jennifer. Now, let me tell you about Jennifer. So, the season starts out with, like, all of the males go into a room and they talk with, like, the deputy, the sheriff, and they talk to Chief Peak. Now, I'm going to get to Chief Peak because I don't like Chief Peak. But anyway, so they all sit down. It's like the men are with the men, the girls are with the girls. Now, when Jennifer comes in, everyone says what they do. You know, Dennis says he was a college quarterback. But my thing with Dennis is, well, what do you do now? Okay, you were a college quarterback. You are out of college. So, you know, we know Alex is a political science major. We know Ashley is a police officer. So when Jennifer comes in, she talk about she a born-again Christian. Now, what in the world? Now, mind you, Jennifer looked like she been through some things. And so the second that I see Jennifer, I'm like, oh, she going to do good on this show. Okay. But that's just, like, my little tidbit about Jennifer. Then we got Jake. He's a correctional officer from Pennsylvania. He a little on the chubby side. Who else we got? We got Shanice. I like Shanice. She's an African-American female. She's in her 40s. She is a youth advocate. So she kind of, like, teaches youth. You know, she looked like she's been through some things in her life as well, too. Okay. Then we also got Matt. He is in the Marine Corps, or he's, like, out of the Marine Corps. Now, he a little chubby, too. Okay. So we got the men with the men. We got the women with the women. So Chief Peak, but this is what I don't like about Chief Peak. So Chief Peak, he sees the men. He sees Dennis. He sees Alex. He sees Matt. He sees Jake. And then, you know, he asks them all to, like, come up. They're all sitting down. He, like, I want y'all to tell me your cover stories because we need to make sure you got your cover stories down. So, you know, Matt is like, I got my first DUI. And I was traveling to visit my fiance. Alex is supposed to, he's supposed to say he was on his way to Panama City with some friends. Cocaine, you know, possession of cocaine. And then Jake is supposed to say that he's arrested for embezzlement. Now, Jake is the correctional officer. Now, when it gets to Dennis, who's the only black male contestant, Dennis got up there and was like, you know, what he's going to tell people is like, I don't feel like talking about my story right now. Like, that ain't where I'm at, yo. What's up? Check it. Chief Peak is like, you know, you got to be careful. You know, he's a little cocky. Why he cocky? Like, okay, like, well, what do you want him to be like? Now, mind you, Jake, on the other hand, his little nervous but shaking, like, okay, I like Dennis. Dennis is like, you know, well, he's starting off really, really good. So they do the same thing with the females. Ashley is a police officer, but she doesn't want anyone to know that she's a police officer. So she's telling people that she's in the National Guard. Now, we know on previous seasons that other contestants have, like, spoiled the other contestants to the jailmates. So Ashley is like, I'm a little nervous about telling them that I'm a police officer, because if they snitch on me and then the people find out, then they're going to want my ass. So, you know, Ashley don't want that. Ashley seems pretty calm. She's like the only one that's excited. Jennifer is really like, you know, I'm here. I want to make a change. But she is like, Jennifer is calm. She's like, you could just tell Jennifer been through some things. So then they ask her like, well, what do you mean born again Christian? So Jennifer like, well, listen, I used to be an underage stripper. Okay. She used to be a recovering alcoholic. She looks like it. So like, that's why, you know, she chilling. Shanice is like, you know, I deal with kids. I work with kids that have gone into the jail system. Their family's in the jail system. And I want to be able to relate to them a little more. I really think Shanice is going to do well in this as well. So the surprise of the whole thing is, now normally on the season they meet with the people and then you get to go back to your hotel and then you prep for the night and then they do the processing. This episode they was like, we feel like from every somebody in each group is ready, so we gonna send somebody in today. What you mean? No, Chief Peak, I need to go home. I need to take a shower. I need to wet my whistle. So they pick people who they feel like are ready to just like, can you imagine signing up for 60 days in and then you at your orientation where you think you're going to meet your other participants, get some training, and then like you're going to go home, get us a child. They said, listen, we sending y'all in now. So before they send them in, there's always a code word. The code word, if like you feel like you're unsafe, you need to go. So they have two code words. They put their left or right, but you put your left or your right hand over your chest and show that to the camera, or you say it's crowded in here. So for the guys, I'm like, who they gonna pick? Now, my opinion, I was like, shoot, they should pick freaking Dennis, because Dennis looked like he ready to go. So they pick Matt to go in. And so Matt's like, oh, you could tell Matt is like sweating bullets. He do not want to go in. So Matt's like, I need to call my wife. I need to call my wife. Now, mind you, we kind of see this backstory. We get to see his wife. We get to see photos of him back when he was in the Marine Corps. Now, mind you, back in the day, Matt used to be kind of cute. Okay, a little slim trim. Now he's a little chunky. He has a 3-year-old daughter, you know. And so Matt getting a little nervous, you know. So Matt goes in, boom, boom, boom. They take him into processing, and Matt goes in, boom. And so Matt is like, you know, boom, 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 boom. He go in. He's like in the holding jail. And like, you know, Matt is like, you know, on TV, it looks so easy. It looked like, you know, you went in, they processed you, and, you know, you get to go home. Child, they had Matt in their holding cell for 9 hours. Okay, 9 hours. So then Matt got, wait. So let's talk about this prison real quick before I get into this. Okay, wait, let me my whistle because I'm getting excited. Let me wet the whistle. Hold on. So normally on 60 Days In, if you guys watch 60 Days In, normally on the jails that they send these people to, obviously it's jail and they be crazy. But them jails be having like some type of order to them. And each pod is where like each pod has different like sets of inmates in them. There's a women's pod. Generally at the jails, there's always like one women's pod because there's like, you know, the population of women is not as much to men. And maybe there's like 8 or 9, 10 male pods. And, you know, normally like, you know, it's like 3 tiers, you know, maybe 40 people to a pod. Bay up in Alabama, child, the doors don't even lock on some of the pods. So inmates are in and out all types of day, all types of night. It's one prison guard to 100 inmates, okay? It ain't normally like this on 60 Days In, y'all. It is not normally like this, okay? So this jail in Alabama is crazy, okay? It look like they about to burn it down, okay? Like, it's legitimate crazy. And then, in the beginning, when we meet, whatever, we don't even need to talk about that. Forget that. So, anyway, Matt is in. So, after 9 hours of waiting, Matt is, like, finally in his cell. He's brought in. And people's just all around. And Matt is just like, what am I? This is the worst decision of my life. I'm like, yeah, I bet. Okay. So the first of the women to go in is Ashley. Okay. The police officer, National Guard. Okay. Now, mind you, I don't know how I feel about Ashley at this point. She kind of rubs me the wrong way a little bit. Like, she's too hyped to go in. And the second from which she gets in, like, she's just snitching. All in her confessionals, all she's doing is snitching. Now, mind you, that's what you're supposed to do. But, like, you know, so she's a police officer. So she goes into the holding cell. She gets patted down. And in her first confessional, she's like, I give better pat downs on the side of a 4-lane highway. She's like, they didn't even touch my bra. She was like, they barely touched my panties. She was like, you know, they told me to get undressed. She was like, I could have kept my wired bra on. So although she is providing very helpful information to the jail, but I'm like, girl, like, just go through the process. So Ashley get in there. She gets into the women's pod and it's cray cray as well. Like, just crazy. And so what Ashley is realizing that once she gets in there, it's like she don't have no clothes. And like they provided her with like one set of clothes. When she was in intake, she took her panties off. They didn't give her no panties. She has no panties. She just got on like the pants and the shirt. Now she's in the cell with Miss Rita. Child, thank God for Miss Rita. She is the saving grace. Miss Rita is an old black lady. She got big boobies. Okay, I don't know what size bra Miss Rita wear, but baby, she got big boobies. Okay, that's all I can say, because mind you, at night when we be seeing them, like, all you see is Miss Rita, her big old boobies. So Ashley is like a little apprehensive. She's a little nervous. She feels like she sticks out, which she does. And so the main issue with Ashley is that she does not have any clothes, and she has money, but she is not able to buy underwear or undergarments in, like, you know, the commissary. But like, if she was local, then they would be able to bring to have people come up there. So Ashley's big dilemma is that, like, you know, on like the second night that she's there, like, you're supposed to bring your clothes out and put them on in the front of your cell when you come out, because then they'll wash it and bring it back to you. Ashley only has one set of clothes. So she goes up to a guard and was like, well, when am I supposed to get my clothes washed? And mind you, child, this guard is probably me. Miss Williams is her name. This is me if I was a correctional officer. She was like, well, your clothes were supposed to be out here. And so Ashley's like, well, I don't have any clothes. Like, you know, she was like, I'm just supposed to get naked and put them out there. And she was like, well, you can go in my cell and get them. Miss Williams like, I ain't going in your cell and get them. So Ashley goes in, takes her clothes off, is naked at this point, and puts her clothes outside. And then she's like, Miss Williams, but I don't have any clothes. I can't go outside, like, you know, in the common area and be naked. And she's like, Miss Williams, like, all right, I'll go get you some clothes. So meanwhile, Ashley, like, makes a makeshift bra earlier in the episode because, like, she didn't bring her bra. Her bra had underwire in it. And mind you, they gave her a dirty sheet that had blood on it. So she rips up the sheet and kind of sort of makes a bra. Now she's just sitting there naked. And Miss Rita, like, girl, they don't care about us. This how they treat us, girl. They don't care. That's how they do. So mind you, you see Ashley like in her jail cell, like, Miss Williams, baby. And when I say Miss Williams is me, hold on, let me wet the whistle. Miss Williams, they got Miss Williams on the phone eating. Okay, that's me. What's up? What y'all doing? And so she don't have no clothes. So Miss Rita is like, well, here, girl, so you don't have to be naked, take a shirt. And so Ashley's like, obviously grateful for that. But Ashley's like, what if my cycle comes on? Like, Ashley's like, and mind you, Miss Rita got like two blankets, a pillow. Ashley only got a sheet. Okay. Miss Rita ain't giving up the pillows. Miss Rita, like, here, girl, take another shirt and put it on like pants so that you don't got your cootie cat and your butt out all night. So that's kind of sort of Ashley's story. Matt's story. No, wait, let me listen. Now, let me get to this guy, Jake. He's the correctional officer from Philadelphia, from Pennsylvania. OK, he's got a wife. He's got three kids. Now, I'm just, you know, in my personal opinion. And so when they show photos of Jake, you know, in his correctional uniform, now, mind you, Jake has a lip piercing. First of all, what correctional officer you know got a lip piercing? Clue number one, in my opinion. Then they show where he's like telling a story about he's got a wife, three kids. They show all of these like selfies of him in his like, you know, uniform. And the way he's taking these selfies, Purple Pants Posse, listen, I'm just saying, my gaydar was like, I don't know. Something a little sweet about Jake, but that just, you know, just that's just what I'm feeling. So, the day Jake goes in, you know, he's not got his lip pierced in his little old chunky butt. And so he's like sitting there, he's so nervous. So he gets put into the holding cell, and immediately he's just like, oh, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can do this. I'm not an inmate. I'm not an inmate. Well, we know that. You signed up for the show. So, also, so he's in his holding cell. So then Dennis. So, you know, they meet up with Dennis at the spot for Dennis to go in. Now, mind you, Dennis like is six. He's like 6'5", 6'6". He's a little attractive, little African-American male. Got a body. He got on like workout clothes. So he pulls up for them to like, you know, take him in. And Chief Peak is like, you sure you want to wear that? You look like you off of a movie set. You down in the country. And I'm like, why Chief Peak is so hard on Dennis? Like, he wasn't hard on Jake with his Looney Tunes shirt and his cargo shorts. Like, this is how, you know, an athletic black man, this the clothes he wear. So I got my eye on Chief Peak. I ain't really feeling him, to be honest, y'all. So Dennis go in, and Dennis is put in the same holding cell as Jake. And like his first reaction is like, you know, when he gets a little confessional, we don't really see him in the confessional. We just hear him talking. He's like, yeah, I noticed Jake. But you know, I didn't say anything to him. It looked like he was sick, looked like, you know, he wasn't feeling good. And so Jake's like, I've been here forever. Now this is the coming towards the end of the first episode, y'all. And so Jake's like, I just can't do it. And child, Jake put, now mind you, I'm all out of order, but oh well, go with me. Follow me. Now, they gave everybody the signal. Put your right hand or your left hand over your heart. I think it's your right hand. Or you say it's getting too crowded in here. That's the signal that like, listen, I need to talk to somebody. I need to get out. So they tell you when you riding into the jail to meet up to the spot, because you drive to meet up to the spot for you to get handcuffed and then be brought in. The producers tell you, we read their words. They like, listen, the only time you cannot use these code words is in intake. We can't get you out of intake. It would like blow the whole mission of everybody. Child, here go Jake Lil behind in intake. Talking about, you know, putting his hand over his heart. So the producers called Chief Peak, and they like, Chief Peak, he's saying that he wants to come out. We need to get him out to talk to him. Chief Peak is like, well, that could put everybody else in jeopardy. So they ended up getting him out. They pull him for a little interview. He's like, I can't do this. I want to go. I'm not meant for this. So they like, all right, stay strong. We want to see what we could do. So they end up getting him out. Punk, okay? Why you sign up for 60 days in if you can't even make it through the intake process? Like, what, you just want to be on TV? Like, I'm confused. And I'm confused as to how you think you're going to go back to Pennsylvania and be a correctional guard if when the inmates see you crying like this. So he gets in the car and he's just like, it's not okay. I'm a failure. And so he calls his wife, and his wife, his child, more like his mom. She's like, baby, what's wrong? And he's like, I just can't do it. And she's just like, well, you're not a failure. You're not an inmate. You're a CO. That's why. You're a CO, not an inmate. Well, baby, why he signed up for 60 days in? So anyway, he out. So we get to see our girl Shanice go in. Now, Shanice go in. I feel like Shanice, like I said, Shanice looked like she done been through some things in her life. African-American female in her 40s. You know, she got like the black remnants around her gums. Look like she smoked cigarettes, but we don't know. But Shanice goes in. I like her. Shanice gets in. She got a nice little celly. Shanice's issue is that she can't eat any gluten. She's got a bad gluten allergy, and she'll have a really bad reaction. Well, baby, girl, what you think they feeding these inmates, Shanice? So Shanice has an attitude because she's been in there all day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, couldn't eat nothing because everything that they served them had gluten in it. Now, I guess cheese don't have gluten in it, but she was like, I couldn't even eat the cheese because it was touching the bread. Well, I'm like, girl, you can't scrape it off. So she goes and talks to one of the guards about it, and child, not Miss Williams, but a different guard. And the guard like, well, you need a letter from your doctor saying that you got this allergy. And Shanice is like, well, I'm not from around here. I got arrested up here. And like, I'm not from around here. The correctional officer said, well, I don't know what else to tell you. Okay. So Shanice is in there boiling up. Okay. Now, we got Dennis. Now, I told y'all Chief Peak was, you know, giving Dennis a hard time. And in my mind, I've been defending Dennis, okay? Now, Dennis is like, I ain't going to be no punk in there. I'm going to let them know what's up, you know? I'm like, okay, child, Dennis get into jail. And like I said, in his pod, the doors don't lock. Okay, the first night, Dennis is doing pull-ups on, like, so there's, like, two tiers. Like, there's an upstairs and a downstairs. So he, like, jumped up and is, like, on the floor of the upstairs doing push-ups. What, Dennis, if you don't sit your little good looking behind down, okay, then the guard's like, get down. And Dennis is like, what? And so then Dennis is like, you know, then somebody's like, yeah, you starting your workout early. He's like, yeah, I work out. And so Dennis is walking around the jail, the common area, like looking into people's rooms, like, yeah, I work out. It's time to get these people ready. And like putting up his muscles and flexing. Like, Dennis, you trying to get your behind beat, okay? Because now you're doing too much. Then we see Dennis, you know, all throughout the day. Child, he wants to do his workout. So he's running around the commons area. He's doing his pull-ups. Now, mind you, he look all right doing it, okay? So I don't mind as a viewer watching you do it, Dennis. But you're drawing, like, he is being extremely too flashy. And I guess this is what Chief Peak was talking about. Now, the way that they do the cover for the show is they pull other inmates out, like, that aren't participating in the show. And, like, you know, they say, like, they're doing a documentary on jail life. And so they pull out, you know, other inmates. So we get to see other inmates. And so they kind of sort of ask other inmates what they think about him. And they like, yeah, he's too flashy. He doing too much. Like, you know, you're supposed to get in jail. You're supposed to be humble. He doing too much. Like, yes, Dennis, you're doing too much. But you look good, so keep doing it. But I don't want you to get beat up. Because look, they look serious out here in Alabama. So then the last person, so we don't get to see Alex go in yet. We didn't get to see Jennifer go in. And then, you know, the correctional officer, not the correctional, we didn't done, Jake is out. So Matt, the Marine Corps, he's not having a good time either. So like he is really, really nervous. So unlike Dennis, who's walking around the jail in every room, everywhere, all that Matt is doing is walking outside of his room and inside of his room. So one morning he gets up and an older guy is talking to him like, hey, how you doing? And Matt's like, I'm doing good, you know, just hate it here. And the guy's like, well, what are you in for? And Matt's like, I got a DUI, but I was up by the Army base, so it's federal. So I'm like, waiting for my court date. And so the old guy, like, federal? He's like, no way you federal. If you was federal, you wouldn't be in this pod. So he just basically starts picking apart his story. And he is, like, sweating. Matt is like, oh, no, oh, no. And so then the old guy's like, yeah, you need to get your story together. He like, maybe go back and look at your paperwork and get your story together. So Dennis goes in this room. He's like, oh, my God. Oh, like, one out of five people are believing my story. First of all, Dennis, why would you say federal? Like, ain't your cover story, ain't nothing say federal about nothing. All they said was a DUI. Here you go, adding to the story. They don't believe him. So now he's having, like, a hard time. So 2 days go by, and really, all you see Matt do is, like, come in his room and go out his room, and he hangs over the bars. And he's just like, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. And so, guess what? He puts his hand over his heart. I'm like, two people in less than two episodes? And so then his roommate is like sleeping. And you see Matt like mouthing to the camera like, get me out of here. I want to go now. So they call Chief Peak up again. They're like, hey, we hate to do this to you, but we got Matt putting his hand over his heart. And so they pull Matt out from medical. And so they're talking to Matt. So we don't know whether or not if Matt is going to go home. But we got Matt crying in his little confessional. He's just like, I have to be honest with you guys. This is the worst decision of my life. And so we leave it at there. And also, I forgot to tell y'all. So the night that Ashley, the police officer, National Guard, she had no clothes. You know, Miss Williams ain't giving her clothes. And she had no panties. So she had to put the shirt on. And she was just like, this is just so humiliating. Right when she go to bed, she put her hand over her heart. Now, I don't think that Ashley is going home because in the previews I see more of her, but I don't really know about freaking Jake. Like, what's up with Jake? But listen, it's good. So y'all listen, y'all need to get up on it. 60 days in, we covering it here at the Purple Pants Podcast. Oh, grrr, listen, get up on it. So next on the menu, we have Life After Lockup. Bay Bay. So good, so good, so good. I'm burning up to tell you how good it is. So But just start off with Lacey and Shane, okay? So, we start off, we see my girl Lacey. I'm like, hey, what's poppin'? We see baby boy Shane. So, the first time we see Lacey and Shane throughout, and mind you, I'm going to give you like a recap of all of the couples. It's about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them. And so, this recap is like over the span of 2 days. Not 2 days, but 2 episodes, because, you know, we 2 episodes behind. But I wanted my first little boom boom with y'all to be juicy. So I waited, because I was so excited to see my girl Lacey. So we see Lacey and Shay. And so they on their way to a doctor's appointment, okay? They're basically going to see a fertility specialist because Lacey got her tubes tied. And, you know, now that her and Shane are married, you know, Shane wants some kids. So they in the doctor's office. And mind you, Shane is such a, like, this is why I love me some Shane. Shane is such a little kid. They like, you know, first of all, the doctor go, hey, how you doing? What's up? Like, you know, introducing themselves. This is the first thing out of Shane. Hey, I'm Shane. I went to jail when I was 17. I just came home. And, you know, I'm really like trying to start a family. Boy, Shane asked you all of that. Like, why are you just spitting that information out like that, Shane? So, we learned that Lacey got her tubes tied, on her last son, Marlo. So, Shane wants some kids. So, they're going to figure out what option is, like, the best option for them, whether or not Lacey should get her tubes tied, like, untied, or to do, like, I'm wetting the whistle. Some type of like non-invasive surgery, like where you can like get the embryos, like basically just go in and take the embryos out and then implant them into her. And so, mind you, Shane's like, what's an embryo? And so the lady like explaining it to Shane. So then they're like, well, you know, if either one of my processes, if we go in and untie them or if we get an embryo, you got an 80 to 90% chance of being pregnant within the year. So then the doctor like, well, how many times do you guys have sex a day? Baby, Shane talking about 5 to 10. What in the hell? 5 to 10 times a day. The doctor was like, well, how do you find time to work? Now, Shane's like, well, my job is to please. That is my job. Now, mind you, he ain't lying because, you know, on Lacey's fans only page, they do be having them. Not her fans only page, but she got a little nasty site. Okay. And she do got some videos of her and Shane doing it. Now, I may and may not have tried to look at the preview, but I'm not paying $22. For 3 minutes, okay? But have I thought about it? I'm not answering that, okay? That ain't... Listen, this ain't the lie detector. So, they are trying to, like, basically have a kid. And basically, you know, child, listen, even on Life After Lockup, everybody gets an interview. So, the doctor is like, yeah, I don't know how mature Shane is if he's, like, actually ready to be a father. So, we go back to Lacey's house, and we learn that Lacey and Shane are moving. Okay, you get that Love After Lockup check. You get in a new house. So, basically, Lacey is renting, and now Lacey is buying a house. Now, Lacey, you know, they're saying they need space if they're about to have a baby. But Lacey, like, lets us know that child Shane don't work and it's bothering her. She's like, she paid all the bills for renting the house. And now that they're buying this house, she's like, I'm paying for the house myself. She's like, now, you know, Lacey, when she was on Love After Lockup, she was between Shane and John. Now she brings John in. Like, you know, the one thing about John is when I was with John, John was a provider. He had a good job. Like, I didn't have to work. So Lacey don't really like having to work and Shane being kind of like not working. Shane says that, like, it's hard for him to get a job with his, like, you know, felony background. So the day comes, they moving. Baby, the house ain't even packed up. You got Shane pouring up some liquor, drinking. Like, and mind you, Shane ain't even no help. Like, you know, you see the movers all packing, and Shane, the movers are like in the shed. And mind you, they're like putting wood in a box. Why y'all bringing wood? Okay, I don't know. And Shane's like, yeah, everything in here needs to go. The wood, the fire stuff. And Shane ain't doing nothing but drinking. And so Lacey's like, Shane, it's like not even like noon and you're drinking. And he's like, what? We're moving. And she's like, you can help the movers. And Shane's like, that's what I pay the movers for. Well, correction, that's what Lacey pays the movers for. Okay. So, child, Shane just like, listen, this is how helpful Shane is. The movers are moving boxes. Shane got a chair, a blanket, and a pillow. And it's, and his glass out. It looked like he drinking margarita. And his glass of margarita walking up the ramp, putting it in the thing. Like, what are you doing, Shane? Thank God Lacey is like, Shane, what are you doing? That's not going in there like that. So while Shane is like somewhere on a box, Lacey reveals to us that she got a text message from John last night. She hasn't seen John since the wedding or talked to him since the wedding. But John reached out to her and was like that he misses her. He wants to be with her. He's in a dark place and he's just sitting in his bed alone. Now, Lacey is concerned for John because John is a recovering addict. You know, heroin was his choice of drug. And like, she's just so nervous. So she tries to call him. He don't pick up. She tries to text him, he don't respond. So she calls her friend and it's like, I'm really concerned for John. Like, you know, he's never acted like this before. Like, you know, he's acted like this before, but I'm so concerned. So the friend is like, you know, girl, like, he's done this before. You need to focus on Shane. So meanwhile, Shane's still drinking. Lacey's like, my dad's about to bring the kids over. So the kids come over. Boom, boom. Shane's all happy. He's like, you guys want to see the house? You want to see the house? And so, you know, boom, he showed them the house. Lacey goes outside with her dad. And the dad's like, I'm so excited for you and Shane. The house looks nice. And Lacey, you know, Lacey and her dad is close. So Lacey tells her dad, like, listen, John's been texting me and I'm concerned. And the dad's like, well, have you told Shane about this? Because, like, I feel like that's, like, I wouldn't be, I don't care. You know, Shane tried to fight the daddy in Love After Lockup. So why a dad care? So, but the dad is like, listen, you should be upfront with Shane about this because it's not fair to him. And so Lacey's like, yeah, I know. So then basically, like, Lacey's walking her dad out and Shane downstairs. And Lacey left her phone open. Now, Shane don't see the messages from Shane to Lacey, but he sees the messages that Lacey was texting her girlfriend about John. So, I've been telling you, wait, let me wet my whistle. So, listen. So Shane see the text message of Lacey talking about John to her girlfriend. And so Shane is livid. Now, mind you, he been drinking all day. So, and mind you, keep in mind, now this neighborhood that they moved in, it looked nice. The house looked nice. I can't even hate. It looked like a, like, quiet little suburban area. So Shane go outside like, you said you wasn't going to be talking to him. What are you doing? I care about you. I love you. And she like, Shane, what are you talking about? He like, I seen in your phone you was talking about John. You bringing John into this relationship. You said you would never leave him. Now, mind you, Shane is turning up. Now, mind you, I'm cracking up. They got this one neighbor walking by, and you can see him in the camera turn around looking. That be me. The neighbor is me, okay? Like, what the hell? They just moved into this neighborhood. Can you imagine? So Shane running in the house, he drinking a beer, he throws the beer at the wall, and Lacey comes in, and Lacey's like, do you see our neighbors are out there? We just moved in here. And Shane's like, I don't care, you're talking to him, I love you, I want to be with you, and you're still talking to him. And Lacey's like, I'm leaving. And Shane's like, that's all you do, you run from your problems. He's like, you can't leave, I'm married to you. And as Lacey walking out the door, Lacey was like, that could be undone real quick. Ooh, okay, Lacey and Shane ain't playing. Okay, let's talk about Angela. Hey, Bryce. Angela, what's up? Girl, I ain't got nothing nice to say to you.
Why not?
Because. So listen, y'all know Love After Lockup. You know, Tony came home after Angela's friend Tommy told her not to. And, you know, they're so in love. But we see on the last episode of Love After Lockup that, you know, Tony go to work. But he really at the motel with the girls. Okay, so this season of Life After Lockup picks up with Angela. Mind you, first of all, she couldn't even wait till the producers get there. She on her Android phone, okay? Her Galaxy One, because it's a little fuzzy. She on her Galaxy One, like, I really wish you guys were here, because I'm burning this shit. Now, mind you, it looks like it's dark out, look like the sun coming up, and she got a little fire, because, you know, Angela lives in, like, a trailer park, and she got a little fire by her trailer, and she's like, I'm burning all of Tony's stuff. I'm done with him. So that's all we see. So we like, oh, girl, what's going on? You know, I want to call her.
Well, you should have called me, Bryce.
Angela, I don't got your number.
Well, I'll give you my number.
So anyway, the next morning, we hear a knock at the door. It's Angela. And guess what she doing? Smoking her Marlboros, okay? You know Angela. So the producers come in, and child, you know, she got a coffee table right by her kitchen stove, okay? It's like the dining room table right by the kitchen stove. So the producer's like, well, what's up? What's going on? And Angela's like,
you know, I just been really feeling, you know, something's been up with Tony. He's been a little distant. So, you know, in the middle of the night, he got up and you know, on his damn phone, in the living room.
So he got up, was texting on his phone. Okay. He went to sleep. Angela tried to get in his phone, but he had a lock on it. So baby, Angela, okay, this how you know they got them old phones. Okay. Angela took the SIM card out of his phone, put it in her phone, and baby, the messages came up with Tony and the prostitutes. Now, apparently, these prostitutes at the motel that Tony work at, he gets them free rooms for exchange for sexual acts and threesomes. Okay? Can't make this up. So the producers is like, wait. And Angela's like, I'm done. I want him out of here. Angela's like, I didn't say anything when he got up for work this morning. He left out. I made that video. I burnt all his letters. And I'm done with him. And so, you know, she like, when he comes home, I'm going to have to get him together. So fast forward. Tony comes home. And child, guess what? He riding in on a motorcycle that Angela bought him. Okay? What did Angela's sister say? Okay, wait. What was Angela's sister's name? Oh, my God. Wait. I can't forget. Donna Faye. Donna Faye said, don't give him that damn motorcycle. So he come running in on this motorcycle. He's like, hey, baby, what's up? And like, he's like, what's wrong? And Angela's like, We gotta talk, Tony. He's like, what? She's like, I went through your phone last night and I seen them messages. And Tony's like, what? She's like, I seen the messages, Tony. I seen the messages. And Tony's like, what? I just messaged them. I didn't do anything with them. I didn't touch them. Angela like, I seen them. Get your stuff and get out. So mind you, Angela pop him upside his head. And Tony's like, don't touch me. Angela's like, what are you gonna do? Get out. And then, so mind you, she had all this stuff packed up at the door. She wasn't playing. And Tony's like, this is where I paroled to. I have to stay here. Angela's like, I don't care. So she kick him out. And so he takes his stuff and he like puts it next to the trailer. He's like, I'm not taking it. Angela's like, you got to sundown to get here and get it. Cause if not, I'm burning it. Now, this is where I feel like Angela was being a little too nice. Okay. She gonna let him ride off in the motorcycle. No. Not my motorcycle. I'm burning it up with all the other stuff. You ain't about to. And listen. And I told y'all when Angela first met Tony on Life After Lockup the first time, he was like, you know, somewhat trim, like, you know, child, he looked like the Pillsbury Doughboy riding in on that motorcycle, okay? So he takes the motorcycle and rides off. Nope, couldn't be me, Angela. The motorcycle stays here. So Donna Faye comes over and Donna Faye's like, what's all of this outside? And she's like, oh, it's Tony. Now, mind you, you know, Angela's smoking a cigarette and she's like, and Donna Faye, her sister, like, let me guess, he cheating. And she's like, yeah, with the girls at the motel. You know, he's giving them rooms. And Donna Faye's like, for what? And what? In exchange for sexual acts? And she like, I told you he was going to play you. And she like, but you still got his stuff here. Like, when is he coming to get it? And she, listen, Donna Faye know her sister. She like, you going to take him back. And Angela's like, no, I'm not. So later in the night, it's nighttime. They actually have the producer cameras here now. And, you know, she burning his stuff. Got his little shirts and stuff. And so Tony pulls up. And it's like, I guess that's my stuff. And Angela's like, it is. And he's like, Angela, I'm so sorry. Forgive me. I've made a mistake. And mind you now, okay, I'm with Angela now. She's staying strong. And you know, he's like, I need to come inside my house. Angela like, this ain't your house. This is my house. This is my trailer. Okay? That's my trailer. So he's like, you know, I'll go to canceling. Angela's like, you did that already. I'm not falling for your stupidness. And then Tony's like, but I love you. I really want to work on this. I gave you a ring because I wanted it to be you forever. Now he wearing her down. But the episode ends with her going in the trailer, slamming the door, saying that he can't come in. Child, I don't know. So let me introduce you guys to another couple. There's a girl named Megan, Michael, and Sarah. So they were on Love After Lockup, and then they were on the first season of Life After Lockup, and now here's the second season of Life After Lockup. So Michael is an African-American male, his baby mama, and his wife, Sarah. So when we meet Sarah, she got a daughter, she's 3, and Michael's with her. But Michael started tech messaging Megan. You know, Megan, you know, became a little thing. Michael came home. He met with Megan. The first night that Michael came home, you know, Megan flew out to where he was. They was playing in a hotel and she got him there late. So he had to get rearrested because she did not get him to check into the halfway house at the same time. Now, Sarah finds out about Megan. Megan doesn't really know about Sarah, but Sarah finds out about Megan. Then Megan finds out about Sarah. Sarah and Megan meet. But at this time, Megan is like falling in love with Michael. And she like, you know, and Michael's telling her he don't want to be with Sarah. He done with Sarah. You know, he loves Megan. At this time, Megan is a virgin. You know, and the first time that Michael came home, you know, Megan gave it up. So, you know, here is Sarah. And on top of that, Sarah is pregnant, okay? Now, and he married. So he finally breaks down and tells Megan that he's married to Sarah. Sarah is done with it. She don't want no more to do with it. But, of course, she loves him. He keeps calling her. Michael's mom and his sister, they don't like Megan. They're team Sarah. They feel like she's a mess. However, then, you know, Michael got rearrested again. Okay, when he came home the next time, Megan flew out. She was there with his mom and his sister. The sister ain't want nothing to do with Megan. They was about to fight, you know. But that time that he was locked up, Megan kind of sort of hooked up with his friend. She sort of gave him a kiss. And so now we're just left with Sarah has two kids by Michael, and Michael don't want nothing to do with her. We see Michael flying out to Texas to see what's up with Megan. Okay, so he just shows up. Child, I don't know how they just get this money to fly out. Okay, how they get this car money to just show up at somebody's door, but they do. That's what they do. And so, yeah, that's what he's doing. And so he just ran. Can you imagine him just randomly showing up at your door like, hello? So, you know, Megan's like, what's up? I haven't talked to you in 2 months. And Michael's like, yeah, you know, I came out here. You know, I love you. You my soulmate. I want to see what's up with you. But we got to figure it out. Now, mind you, Megan is like, you know, a voluptuous girl, little cute little African-American girl. Mind you, Michael is this little skinny old little black boy with a big old forehead. And he has braids, but he got his hair in a bun. So he's like, I can't come in. Megan's like, no, my dad here. My dad don't want to see you. She's like, I'm getting ready to meet up with my best friend. So, like, you know, what's up? And he's like, I'm about to get a divorce from Sarah. Like, you know, I don't know where we can go from here, but I know I want you in my life. So she goes out to dinner with Michael and, you know, Michael, Megan, and then Megan meets up with her best friend, B. Basically, you could say her best friend is named Bryce because he, you know, he's a, how you doing? And so he ain't here for Michael. So they sit down to dinner and Michael, you know, B just automatically starts going in on Michael. Like, I don't trust you. How you know we still get, how we still know you're not messing with these girls? And Michael's like, I'm just saying, like, you know, I don't want to be disrespectful to you, but like, I already told her. And he's like, but you didn't tell her you were married. He was like, I did tell her I was married. He was like, well, my B was like, well, After we found out that you was married already, okay? So, an intense dinner, but, you know, here's Megan sticking up for him. Like, well, you know, it shows a lot for him to fly to Texas and to sit down with people that he knows doesn't like him, that, you know, he shows he wants to work some things out. So then, later in the episode, you know, he meets up with Megan's dad. And so Megan's dad is this, like, 6'3", big guy. And so, you know, they come in, they meet, and mind you, Megan's dad is not here for him. He's like, you know, so are you divorced? And he's like, I'm in the process. He's like, so when you gonna get, like, what's the date? And, you know, Michael's like, well, it's a process to that. And so basically, Megan's dad say, I don't really want you for my daughter. I feel like that you could do better. He's like, you know, it's just going to be a big mess in the setup. And Megan's like, well, you know, it proves a lot that, you know, we want to try. You know, I love him. So then they pan over to wherever Michael baby mom slash wife with the two children's at, Sarah. And it's really sad because he's got a cute two daughters. One's like 4 years old. And like, you know, they show the daughter trying to FaceTime him. And like, as the daughter's FaceTiming Michael, she's like, he's not going to pick up. Daddy never picks up. So they have to like role play. Sarah has to pretend to be Michael so that like her daughter can talk to Michael. But we get the tea that Sarah is done with Michael. She wants to be done with him. She calls her girlfriend over. Basically, you know, she tells the girlfriend that she pays Michael's cell phone bill so that he can keep in contact with the girls, but he don't ever keep in contact with his daughter. And she has his bank statements. And so they go through the bank statements and he has all of these cash apps from these different girls, some from Megan, other from Jennifer's, a couple Martinas, a couple of Monica's. Okay. And mind you, on the way, when Michael is on his way to Texas, on his way to Megan's house, a girl calls like, hello. And he's like, what's up? And he's like, what you doing? He's like, nah, I just took the kids out. He's like, oh, I'm going to call you tonight. I miss you. And they're like, oh, is that Megan? He's like, oh, no, another girl. Okay. So Michael just a pimp. He just a mess. A hot mess. Okay. So we'll keep you updated on that. I'm giving y'all the brief. Okay. Then we have Brittany and Marciano. Okay. Brittany was in jail. Marciano wrote to her. Okay, Marciano, Brittany has 5 kids. 2 of the kids got adopted. They went to the foster care system. Then, you know, she has another son named Giovanni by her ex-boyfriend named Tito. Okay, well, listen, in honor of Tito, let me wet the whistle to some Tito's. So, Marciano, her husband, and Brittany don't get along with Tito's. And she has another daughter. I think her name is like Zoe or Zola. And we find out this episode that Brittany is pregnant. Now, Marciano, he is a full-time poker player. And he is, like, sort of kind of controlling. And, you know, you could tell back in the day, Marciano, I'm saying his name wrong, but I'm wetting the whistle. So, oh, well, for this point of the episode, is Marciano, Marciella. He's a bit of controlling. Brittany also is, like, sort of kind of bisexual when she was in jail. She has some lovers. And, you know, in previous seasons, we've seen her, like, the friends, her ex-lovers, who are her friends, come by. And Marciano don't like her. He does not like her hanging out with them because he feels like, you know, one, he don't know whether or not she's still going to hook up with them. And he feels like he don't like, you know, her to be around them negative influences. So we find out, because they go into a doctor's appointment, that Brittany is pregnant with her fifth child. Okay, and so the issue around them is now that, like, you know, Marciano is a full-time poker player. She like, well, we need some, you know, we got to get some regular money coming in. Although he's able to pay the bills, he, you know, five, you know, three kids, you know, a wife, a roof, car insurance, all of that stuff. Like, you know, what you gonna do with all of that? So they have this conversation about him getting a job, and he's like, you know, well, I'm, you know, I really like poker, and, you know, he's like, it's hard. I haven't had a job in such a long time. And Brittany's like, are you telling me it's hard? Like, I'm a felon. Like, people look at me like I'm crazy. Well, but here's my thing, girl. Well, why aren't you trying to get a job too? So another one of Brittany and Marciano's bills is they have a Giovanni, who's Tito's son. They have a lawyer bill because they currently have full custody of Giovanni. Giovanni lost his visitation, Tito lost his visitation with Giovanni because, like, you know, he was not meeting his family service plan. He's been drinking. And last season on Life After Lockup, Marciano and Tito, they met up to see if they could, like, you know, work together. Baby, they ended up getting in a boop, 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 boop fist fight. And so Tito took him to court. Now they got this, like, you know, this lawyer bill for the criminal charges. Well, not necessarily the criminal charges, but, you know, this child welfare case. And it's cost them $30,000. So with this $30,000 hanging over their head, okay, a new baby on the way, like, yes, y'all need to get to work. So Marciano goes kind of like to this temp agency to kind of sort of, like, you know, see when he get a job, and he's like very confident he get a job. They ask him how much he want to make, $60,000 to $70,000. Now here's the thing, Marciano does, he was in the Marines, he does have a master's degree, he used to be a model. They show a photo of him back in the day, looking all right. Okay, I said okay. So, you know, basically, but he's talks about poker. And so the recruiter is like, well, why would somebody want to hire you if, you know, any day you could just leave to go play poker? So that's kind of their story, where they kind of like going with that. Now, mind you, my other favorite couple is Andrea and Lamar. Okay, Andrea is like 40. Lamar is 43. Andrea is Mormon. She's got three children. She's from Utah. She was dealing with Lamar for 7 years, writing to him. He finally came home. You know, she uprooted her three children from Utah to LA to be with Lamar to kind of make it work. And mind you, she's got like teenagers. Like, her son is like 14. Her one daughter is 13. Her other daughter is 7. And it didn't work out, you know, LA. So at first they, like, so she went to LA, didn't work out. She came home. He came to Utah to visit. He didn't want to stay. So boom, he left. She hasn't seen him in 2 months. So we see Andrea, you know, meeting up with her girlfriends to kind of sort of, like, you know, just, you know, get out. It's a sip and see. One of her girlfriends had a baby. And so one of the tea, now mind you, I've been following Andrea and Lamar's story for about 2 years now, from Life After Lockup to Love After Lockup. And, you know, none of the children that she has are by Lamar. And so, but Lamar always says that they're his kids. And that's the one thing I do like about Lamar, but I also think it's so weird because this relationship is so unhealthy and toxic. But, like, you know, he calls the kids his kids. So when Andrea is out at dinner with her girlfriends, she reveals that Lamar is actually the father of her youngest daughter. And the girlfriends is like, but girl, that don't make sense. He was in jail when she was conceived and y'all weren't married. So how did y'all get conjugal visits? Purple Pants Posse, are y'all ready for this? Hold on. Listen, so Lamar is finally off parole. So Andrea feels like she can finally tell this secret. When they went to jail, when she used to visit Lamar about 6 years ago, because her daughter is 4, she paid the prison guard for some closet time, okay? Closet time, okay? So she will go to the jail, slide the guard a 20, and ooh, ah, in the closet, and the girl got pregnant, okay? Listen, So, but Lamar doesn't know that. He just still claims all of the kids as his own kids. So, she's in Utah. Lamar's in L.A. We see Lamar in L.A. You know, he out there rapping. Ooh, what you looking for? I got that heat. I got that smoke. What you looking for? One of his best friends. You know, I don't know whether or not they say Lamar was in the gang, but he's got gang affiliation. And one of his friends, and mind you, Andrea has been saying, like, L.A. and where they were staying was not safe. She don't want her kids there. She want Lamar home. So, Lamar, we see Lamar. He's in the studio. One of his friends, his closest friends, got shot in the foot. And so Lamar was like, that really kind of ticked me out. Like, you know, be going here today, burning up tomorrow. Okay. So he's like, you know, really got him thinking, like, you know, he really wants to see Andrea. He wants to see the kids. He calls Andrea on FaceTime. And, you know, she's like, what's up? And he's like, ooh, just burped a little bit. Excuse me. What? No whistle. So they talking. He's like, I really want to come home. I really want to see you. And she's like, you need to just come home. He's like, I'm going to come home for a visit. So Andrea, mind you, she's Mormon. Okay. She got the kids. Mind you, she got her son, 14, 13, writing signs, talk about welcome home, Lamar. What in the hell? Like, child, I wish Barb would meet somebody. Okay. Let alone get pregnant in the closet. And he not my daddy. And I got to write a welcome home, Lamar. But whatever. Her kids are kind of sort of cute, though. Like, they really take to Lamar. And that is the one thing that I do like about Andrea, is that, like, although unhealthy as it is, like, he really do love the kids. So they at the airport waiting for Lamar to come home, and, like, you know, he's running a little late, and she like, if he don't come, I'm done with him. If he don't come, I'm done with him. He come down the escalator, and they're like, oh. Now, of course, now that we know that, you know, her youngest daughter is Lamar's daughter, like, biological daughter, when we see her, like, I'd be like, oh, they do look alike. They look alike. They kind of look alike. So, you know, they're at the airport. They're hugging and embracing. Andrea don't want to give them no hug. And right before they went to the airport, Andrea was asking her son if Lamar could sleep in his bed because Lamar ain't sleeping with her. Like, girl, why are you fronting? This the big thing. This the one thing I don't like about Andrea is that, like, she tries to put up this tough exterior. Well, girl, why did you marry him? Okay, he's not leaving LA. Like, what? Like, girl, what's up? So that's where they leave it off. So those are all of the families that we see right now. I believe Cheryl and Josh is on this season. Okay, so listen, it's juicy. I'm trying to tell you. So that is our recap of Life After Lockup. It's on Weed TV. Comes on Friday nights at 9 o'clock. Get caught up, because listen, you already know I'm covering it here on the Purple Pants Podcast. Okay. Hoo, Chile. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. Now, mind you, they've been in the headlines ever since, you know, she's one of the first African-American females to be joining the royal family. You know, Prince Harry is a snack. You know, Meghan been dealing with her family drama. You know, them contacting the tabloids. You know, all of this drama been swirling around them. You know, then she get pregnant. And, baby, we learned this week that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle to step back as members of the royal family and plan to move to North America. Now, first of all, I didn't know you could step back as the royal family. I thought if you the prince, you the prince. I had to educate myself. So listen, they do not want to be members of the royal family. And I guess it is, you know, you can choose. You know, there are some people, if you watch The Crown, you know, the uncle, you can, I know I'm saying this wrong. I want to say abstance something, but I know abstain is from not to do it. But I know that, like, some people can opt not to be the prince if they don't want to, like, or the, you know what I'm saying? If y'all watch The Crown, y'all know what I'm talking about. But listen, they is stepping back, okay? They released a statement saying, after many months of reflection and internal discussion, we have chosen to make the transition this year and starting to carve out the process of the new role within this institution. They said in a post on the Instagram, we tend to step back as senior members of the royal family and work on becoming financially independent while continually to support Her Majesty the Queen. The couple says that they will be raising their son with an appreciation for the royal tradition in which he was born, while also providing our family with some space to focus. Now, baby, now let me tell you how shady over there, and you know, listen, with them, the tabloids and stuff. So, you know, over there at the wax museum, they have, like, wax figures of all of, like, the royal family and all of this stuff. Baby, when this week announced that they were stepping back, the wax museum removed Prince Harry and Meghan from the rest of the people, and they gonna put them in a room across the hallway, okay? But listen, they about their coins, though. Earlier this week, it was announced that it looks like they are, Meghan and Prince Henry trademarked the name y'all know I'm a little slow, the Sussex Royal, in preparation to brand from their exit as senior members of the royal family. Now, here's my thing. I'm here for it. I listen, sometimes you got to step back. And mind you, I feel like this is definitely Meghan, okay? Sometimes you need a black female to come up in there and be like, listen, I'm not putting up with this bullish, okay? Listen, we not going to be sleeping in your mama house, okay? You need to get your own house, Harry. You need to get your own house. I'm tired of having to walk around the queen. Listen, but in all seriousness, though, like, it is definitely, like, interesting because you see, like, the tabloids with how, like, they say Meghan, you know, stepped away from her family, all of that stuff, and now she got Prince Harry. But I'm sure it's a lot. And I'm sure, like, if they really love each other for real, like, I don't want to be all up in this. Like, I don't want to, like, you know, however, like, you know, we've never really seen this before. And, like, you know, it makes for juicy menu topics. But seriously, I really do wish they were happy. And y'all, listen, if they come into North America, what's up? What's popping? Okay, what's up, Prince Harry? But I keep y'all posted. Just want to let y'all know, because I know y'all be loving all of the royals. I know y'all love it. And mind you, I'm so far behind in The Crown. I really need to get caught up with The Crown. Y'all watch The Crown? Let me know if y'all watch The Crown. Okay. But listen, now let's get into the Purple Pants Premonitions. And we're back with our first 2020 Purple Pants Premonitions. Yes.
Yes.
I read them tweets. I get the DMs. I see the emails. Yes. Y'all are loving the Purple Pants Premonition. But wait, y'all can't love it as much as I do, because although I do this for the Purple Pants Posse, it really speaks to my soul. Without further ado, welcome my good Breece. That's my bro and my sis, Gangsta Gray.
Yes. We in the building. Happy New Year. Happy 2020.
What's going on with you?
Oh, child. Let's say it's a new year. It's a new decade. It's just things moving, child. I went to Toronto for the new year. You know, the doll had to get across the border.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Get out of the country. Get my little, I had my eat, pray, love moment, as you like to say. Right. So I had a little travel session, went there by myself, got some really great clarity, and I've just been taking some time to integrate all of those lessons into my everyday being, you know, doing my work, trying new things out, bringing new things to the public, about to start offering classes and stuff like that to the collective. Ooh. And folks. So things are moving really fast over here, just staying, you know, intentional and staying blessed. How are yes. you, child?
I am, you know, I'm keeping on, you know, my spirits aren't where they are normally are, but I am trying to press through, which is why I am yearning for this, our first Purple Pants Premonitions of 2020.
Praise. Well, listen, I'm not even going to hold us anymore. I'm going to hop right into it. So, you know, as time goes on, the doll upgrades, the doll changes, the doll brings new things to the table. So I recently purchased this planner from magicofeye.com. If you are interested, please go check it out. They are based out of Australia, and we know that there's been a lot happening in Australia, child. Mm. However, this planner is, it basically shows all of the moon cycles, all the transits that are coming up. So by the time that this comes out, the full moon eclipse in Cancer will have just passed, right? The full moon eclipse in Cancer is all about just like really letting go of those things that are not working for your emotions. So if you've been feeling all in your bag, if you've been feeling really moved emotionally to just like let some things go, maybe you had a stroke of genius, then that is very much in flow for what is going on for you right now. Lean into that. The other thing I would tell people, lean back right now.
To the easy, M to the wheezy. My arms stay grizzly, the door stay flizzy. I got a day to eat. I'm in my 740 fizzy. I just copped the. Oh, okay. All right. Sorry.
Listen, because I was over here popping it like it was hot. Okay. Because I was
back.
Like, you took me back. Okay. No, because that's very much what is given for the next couple of, I would say the next week or so. Until the end of January, I am predicting that it's important to just like let things happen, pay attention to what is transiting, what's happening in your own life, and making sense of that. Some key dates to look out for. Going to be the 16th of this month, also probably going to be the 22nd and the 23rd. So notice what's going on around those days. We also have the 11th of January coming up. All those days, pay attention to whatever messages are coming through to you. Going to be mad important, okay? So going into the weeks of, we'll say this will be from January the 13th all the way to January the 27th, right? So this is going to be very important for you guys to keep in mind. It's all about intention, and it's all about how you are fostering your soul, the level of accessibility that you have to creating your own dreams, right? But you can't let pride get in your way. As things are growing, as things are coming to the forefront, you cannot let pride get in your way in the next couple of weeks. Ask those hard questions. You know, if you have to take a step back and really process something, like, or really work on listening and really work on just like thinking about how your emotions play into everything and how your emotions have always colored how you move forward in life. You are being asked right now, and intuitively, spiritually, what I've been having to deal with, because I can only talk about things from my own experience. Step back, pay attention to what's coming up, and know that you have to forgive yourself for where things were, how you may have let that come into the space right now, and how that forgiveness is going to help move you forward right now. Okay? Mm-hmm. Space of gratitude. You have to be in a space of gratitude for all the things that have changed. You know, you've made it to a new year. You've made it into a new state of being. You know that there's been something that's been going on that has kind of like made you really think about what it is that you actually want, right? Not what it is that other people are wanting for you, what it is that you actually want, but not from this old state of where you were a couple of weeks ago, even. Mm. Like, this is a new understanding that you're coming into. So how do you have the stamina to go ahead with this journey? How do you have the stamina to go down this path, knowing that it is going to bring you even closer to the goal and the dream that you set out? All of this is a period of curiosity, a period of exploration, okay? And knowing that you are an explorer, you are an adventurer right now, but taking the time to appreciate the fact that you are on that adventure, and knowing that as all of these climaxes approach and as all of these things may arise that are happening for you to just like really dictate, is this my truth? Is this my understanding? Is this my dream? And then knowing what's right, what's not, and letting it fall into place as February comes forward. Because I feel like if February and March are going to be the months where you start to see all those things that are just like, you know, have been worked on so far, starting to come to pass in a higher state. So this is very much grind mode. Like, you know, isn't when is Groundhog's Day? Isn't it in like February or something like that?
It'd be like February or March sometime. Yeah, see if he little we stick his little head out and we see his little tail.
Uh-huh. So it's very much like this is you're underground, right? You're hibernating still. And I think that the idea of hibernation, the idea of stepping back, leaning back, is going to be very important for how everybody moves forward over the next couple of weeks through the end of the month, to be quite honest. So getting into the Dream Weaver, it talks about accessibility. It says, go to bed with a clear conscience. Trust the visions you receive in dreams. Keep a dream journal. A dream holds an important message from a deceased loved one. So if you've been feeling some sort of dreams or some sort of recurring dreams, what is that message telling you? Why do you think it's coming up? And how does that connect to what you need to bring into the forefront as far as your actual living reality? It says, explore lucid dreaming. Your dreams are manifesting into reality. Get some sleep. So if you've not been resting or it's been feeling a little difficult to rest, I will say this full moon eclipse that has come in Cancer has been really jacking up the energy. I honestly, as I sit and talk to you now, last night I was so like, I really want to go to sleep right now. Laid in the bed, sat back up. I was like, I want some popcorn. And then randomly. And I was like, I had one little bag of popcorn. I was like, I'm going to eat this popcorn right now and sit here. And then I had some wonderful thoughts. And then I laid down and I woke up 2 hours later and I was like, girl, this is ghetto. I don't know what this is. And then went back to sleep and then woke up 2 hours later. And I was like, well, I guess we're just going to hop in the shower and start our day a different type of way today. If it's giving that, let it give that. Try something new. Maybe your routine needs to be shaken up a little bit right now. You feel what I'm saying?
Say that again.
Ooh, your routine needs to be shaken up a little bit right now. You know I had to move my body because, you know, when you shake it up, you got to move it around a little bit. Shake up the body.
Yes, you shook the table.
Listen, okay. Woo, she's shaking the table.
They but probably don't even know that reference.
They don't. But if you don't, shout out to Miss Kate Michelle.
And who's that? Carly Red.
Carly Red. Listen, pop them tags.
Gucci Lou and Prada.
Pop them tags. No, are you sleeping with my man? Every night.
Yes, that's Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. No, Love and Hip Hop. Yeah, no, Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, y'all. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Child, we just went down a little rabbit hole. Shout out to everybody who knew where we went, though.
Child, but listen, Groundhog's Day, let's come on out. Let's come on out.
Keep that in mind. It says, time is limitless. Once you comprehend this, you awaken the ability to journey into the dream time, interpret the messages from there. This will help you to access the wisdom of those who have gone before you, including your own soul's previous experiences. Ancient knowledge is now needed, be it for the dilemma of what to do next, how to make the best use of your intuition, or to help you manifest better relationships and a better outcome for what may seem an impossibly difficult personal situation. You will remember why you are here on this earthly plane right now. So if you've been feeling lost, we know that this time of the year is very, like, dark, very, you know, dreary, very dim. Understand that this is part of the upgrade. This is part of the transition. And the most important thing, and I've been saying this, we spoke about this before we even hopped on here, reaching out to those people that are important to you, letting people know that you are going through this transition right now, letting people understand that, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a dark time because you're not the only person that may be having that experience right now. And when you open yourself up to that reality for other people, it'll change your world up. Trust and believe. You heard it here first. It says, don't let pride get in your way. Self-esteem is good. Vanity is not. Everyone is equally important. Creative urges should be followed. Work some magic. A friendship may be ending now. So if you got to let go of something in order for some creativity to pop up or pop out, or maybe there's just a cycle of something that's moving out of the way, let that happen. But remember, ask yourself this question. Have you been letting pride become an obstacle? Is anything that you are dealing with based on ego, or is it based in the heart? This is all about keeping that energy and that big-hearted energy at the forefront of your being. This is going to tell you, you have to end whatever deadlock something has come to, because there has to be more love and greater good for the situation. So if you got to let go of something in order for it better to be done, let that be. Let things be as you would be done by lately. So if somebody, you know, you got to deal with, or a situation, a job, a career, a belief that you got to let go of, you feel what I'm saying? And it's better to be, you know, lean into it with love, lean out of it with anger. Like, we're not doing that right now. It's all about just like, whew, okay, now I'm ready. You feel what I'm saying? Because things are fiery. Things are coming to an approach, like this sort of approach of this climax where it's just like, okay, people are angry. We see it on a global level. We see things actually, like, fiery. You feel what I'm saying? Like, let's be real about it. But we have to know that we can either play into that, or we can send water healing energy. You feel what I'm saying? Because water douses out all of that negativity. So what you have to remind yourself right now is, okay, if I can lead with positive as much as I possibly can, maybe I can douse some of that negative energy out. Maybe I can douse some of that fire that is not working. You dig? Mm-hmm. It's all about remembering, if you're in a tense situation, meditate your way to peace. Don't be a baby about it, and just have a little bit more fun. Lean into life with a variety of a different color palette instead of the one that you may have been using up until this point. And remember that forgiveness is so important, because it acknowledges that harboring resentment blocks the flow of love. You can never flow with your natural energy of love unless you release the negative energy of hate, anger, intolerance, or blame. Every soul in your path has free will, and you have no control over that. What you do have control over is how you react to the manifestation of others' free will. Holding on to that negative energy will strengthen karmic cycles, and forgiveness can break that pattern. The most important person you must learn to forgive is always yourself. Blaming yourself for failures blocks the natural flow of love, which will attract all good things into your life. And Bryce and I were speaking about failures before we talked, before we hopped on here, honestly. And we know that failures is what actually, like, blocks you from tapping into that creative process and embracing the maxim, when one door closes, another one opens. Some doors have to energetically close in order for some new things to come, right? But just have gratitude for the things that are shifting out. You know, send it love, you know, treat it with love. Be honest about where it has come from, and know that this is just part of the exploration. Like, you're an explorer. This is part of the exploration process. So we have two totem animals. We have the raccoon spirit, and we have the horse totem, okay? So with the raccoon totem, because if you think about raccoons, I think about them little buggers being in trash cans, right? They be and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Scooting around, but they're resourceful. You feel what I'm saying? Adaptable. Skillful. You know what I mean? Like, they have an idea of what it is to be confident, because, you know, they will hop into anybody's trash can.
Okay.
Child. Like, they will go anywhere.
And look at you like you crazy. Like, what's okay. that?
Okay. But you know what? They're going into that trash can because they got to go get food for the family. And that's the only way they can do it. So it's just like, sometimes you got to go to, you know, really weird situations, go through really not necessarily dark places, but just like sometimes the low of the low in order to suffice. You feel what I mean? And sometimes what you bring back is going to be beneficial in whatever way. People are going to be grateful. But it's all about you also exploring. And sometimes you got to go to the depths in order to figure out what it is that you need. And then with the horse totem, this talks about freedom. So what does freedom mean to you? How do you have the stamina to find that freedom? How do you allow yourself to dictate what this level of freedom looks like for you? Is that financial freedom? Is that emotional freedom? Is that physical freedom? Do you want to go work out more? Do you hate working out, but you want to do some meditation in your house or do some yoga in your house? Like, figure out what works for you and remind yourself that as long as you are powerful in spirit and as long as you are powerful in determination for what it is that you want to draw in, let that happen. One of the things that I've been doing myself is I listen to brainwaves quite often. So brainwaves are kind of like the way that you can, I don't know, like I think about it as like reprogramming your mind for what it is that you actually do want. Want to be psychic? Listen to a brainwave. Want to get some, you know, depression relief? Listen to a brainwave, you know, throughout your day. And it's just like, you know, really training yourself up. This is training season. So train yourself up for whatever it is that you are dreaming into your reality. And allow yourself to know that you have the accessibility to bring it in. But don't let that old belief of like, I don't deserve, I don't believe, I can't, we don't do that right now. This is your like fresh slate as you are going through this eclipse season and as you are going through the month of January, because you know, we're still in the dead of winter, but it's gonna get warmer soon. So just hold on tight. And like everybody that's probably listening to this right now, we all know that there's so much that's going on in all of our personal lives. And it's just like, we have to allow ourselves some time to process and know that we've been sometimes skating on the surface in order to kind of like get by. And this isn't the time to skate on the surface right now. This is the time to really just like dive deeper into those emotions and dive deeper into those feelings, because we're noticing those eruptions in larger spaces than just our own communities. So because of that, everything else has to, you know, build up from that. You know what I mean? There was a couple days ago where I was talking about having like a firm foundation. And, you know, when you get to the very bottom, the only place that you can build is up. But at the end of the day, you get to rebuild in the foundation, in the format, with the architecture and with the, you know, the different, like the bricks or the cement or whatever that you want to. You get to make it your own and you get to make it new. And then when it falls down, you get to do it in the new ascended state that you looked at it in. But it's all about knowing that that's part of the building process and appreciating that for what it's worth and knowing that's just part of life's journey. This shit ain't easy and nobody said it was going to be, but you can still make it fun.
Chile.
Okay, listen, it's a real one, but you know what? Everybody's capable. You capable, I'm capable, we all capable. Had me feeling like Barney for a second just then, child. Oh, okay.
Does that mean I'm baby bop?
Listen, baby bop. Listen, is you a bop? Baby bop. I love that. Listen, that maybe have to be. I need to take that as a stripper name or something like that.
No, that's mine. Okay. Welcome to the stage.
Coming to the stage, baby bop.
Bop. I love you, right. You love me. Okay, let me stop.
Throw the ones up. Make your change. But no, it's all about just having a good time right now. Having a good time and just enjoying the shit. Don't try to do anything outside of you. Don't do anything extra. Just appreciate. And I think that that's the biggest lesson that all of us can use right now, because we be trying to plan too much instead of just being. And that's why we can just sit here, have a good time, have a deep little conversation, but then at the same time, bop around the motherfucking house. Okay? And enjoy life, because that's what it's about. And that's that on that. That is my prediction for the month of January. You've already seen it happening in your own life, and everybody's probably seeing it too. It's just like, prepare. This is a wonderful season for growth and realizing your growth. Period. Yes. Point blank.
Okay.
So, how are you feeling about that? What you looking forward to coming as far as like the rest of this month? Because I know you got some shifts that you're looking forward to, some big things popping.
Yes, I am just really looking forward to, you know, taking heed of what you said. Like, you might be at the bottom of where you're at, but it gives you the clarity to not only rebuild, but rebuild the foundation in the way that you want to rebuild it, not because you had to build a quick foundation. And that's what I'm trying to look at it and be positive, because, you know, we may not be where we want, and, you know, troubles don't last always, but definitely, you know, in the morning, the sun does shine again. And so that's what I'm really like, where I'm at in my life and where I'm at in my space right now. So mm-hmm. I definitely am so taking heed to that. I'm letting it, you know, not just hearing the premonitions, but like, you know, doing the work to be able to live in the premonitions and, you know, be able to see it come to fruition. Cause, you know what I want. I know what I see for myself. And it's like, now is the time, hibernation mode. Now is the time to put it into play. So I'm so taking heed to that. Like,
yeah,
you don't even know.
No, and I appreciate, I want to point out something, because you said taking heed to the premonitions. And like, I tell people when I'm like doing like my, you know, my work and stuff like that, or with my readings and just like working with clients and working with people, I'm always like, listen, I'm here to just, you know, assist in you recognizing what's around you. But it's on us as, you know, humans, as people, to do whatever that means for us. And then just like be unapologetic about it, but then apologize when we need to, if we feel like we've run over somebody's toes, you know what I mean? But this is just part of what it means to grow. And it's just like knowing, like, you know, you can listen to this now and it may not make sense, but like going back and listening to stuff and thinking about how things have changed, you know, you can be part of the natural flow of life and things can still not change for you. But if you're consistent about the action on your end, that's when it all comes to fruition.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Whew, I love it. I love, 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 love it.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you for having me again. It's nice to be back in this new year, because I'm actually sitting here in my nice Purple Pants podcast hoodie that I got, you know, for the new year. I was like, I'm bringing in this new year along with my brother over there, my brista.
Yes. Okay? I love it. And with the new year's popping, you know, I be, you know, stalking your Instagram, and I see that you have a new Patreon group. Can you, what's that about? Let the people know what's up with that, sis.
So as, you know, things are moving and things are changing and I still have to be able to eat, right? What I've been noticing is just like, I am doing just like a Patreon content. I already have a weekly show. So if you follow me on social media, on Twitter, at Gangsta Guri, or on Instagram, predominantly I do weekly forecasts for the collective. So it's just like, I'll look into the upcoming week. And I have been putting a lot of those videos on Periscope, but I'll be moving to Patreon very soon. But I've been dropping a lot of goodies as far as just like personal content for people that sign up. And it's only $3.33, because at the end of the day, it's not about like, it's never been about the finances to me, but it's also about valuing myself. And I think this is also a message for people. Like, you know, you got to put worth on yourself, because if you don't put worth on yourself, nobody else will. And if somebody really needs what you have to offer, because people will, you'll pay for a coffee, you'll pay for, you know what I'm saying, like a subscription to a magazine. So it's just like asking for just like that little bit to just be like, damn, I appreciate that. And I also have a lot to give. And I got school coming. I'm about to be offering classes. I have a lot that's coming in this new year, a lot of different projects. So I'm excited to bring them to the public. Thank you for asking.
Of course, you better build that foundation.
Of course. Listen, from the ground up, because this first couple months, or these last couple months, have been like the ground foundation for me. And building up what I knew to be true. And now I'm just redirecting. It's like, what feels good? What doesn't? What have I enjoyed? What do I want to do now in this new level? You know what I'm saying? Because I ain't on floor one. I'm at least on floor two now. You feel me?
Okay. Yes. You better build it up. Okay. Well, thank you so much for giving us this week's Purple Pants Premonition. I cannot wait until the next one. Mm-hmm. And it is always a spiritual, refreshing renewal. I love it. Thank you so much, Boo.
Thank you, Boo.
Yes, I just love the Purple Pants Premonitions. I feel like they're speaking to my soul. Well, all right, let's get into my favorite part of the podcast, Purple Pants Picks. You pick, I say, you pick, I talk, you pick, I go. What's poppin'? I have Chloe CO, Chloe underscore CO writes, if you could only eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be? Whew, Chloe, that's hard. But I'm going to have to say, it definitely would be some type of like breakfast food. I am a breakfast lover. Okay, give me some pork bacon. Yes, pork on this plate, please. I definitely would do like some bacon, probably waffles, scrambled eggs with cheese, and some hash browns. Ooh, with like some peppers and onions. I could eat that every day for the rest of my life. Yeah, I definitely could do that. Okay.
Yes. So then I have Hannah Gilligan writes, if you played the circle and had to be a catfish, what kind of person would you be? Whew, that's hard. Now, y'all know the Netflix show, The Circle, where people kind of go into these apartments and they only communicate with other participants via the circle, and they could either be themselves or a catfish. So Hannah is saying, I gotta be a catfish. So I don't know. This is hard, girl. So, you know what? Actually, I would be like a middle-aged, older, I want to say heavier set guy that just looks friendly. In all my photos, I got pictures with me and my cats, and I'm smiling. That's the type of avatar I would want to be, because number one, I would still be my personality, so I'm going to be funny and snarky. And mind you, I would, what do I want my name to be? I want my name to be, I don't know. I'll go with Malcolm. I'll be a Malcolm. And, like, you know, I just want them to, like, fall in love with my personality. And, you know, a overset mid, you know, dad bod guy with cats. Who don't love cats? You know, we know people love cats. So that's what I would be if I had to catfish somebody. I would be, like, an older, heavy set, you know, with glasses and cats type of guy. Because they would, like, and be super friendly. So who? They'd be like, Malcolm. Oh, we love Malcolm. Okay? Really? I'm a whole snack. Okay, what else we got? Harley Mulman writes, have you watched Cheer on Netflix? It's so good. And Australia actually wrote the same thing. So it's so, listen, Purple Pants Posse, y'all be reading my mind. I swear y'all read my mind. So I don't know if anyone else like me who watches a million and one shows, it gets to the point where it's like out of control. So I have a list of shows that like I want to watch. And so I put it on a list. And so the other day, Cheer came up on my, like recommended, and it reminded me of the show on USA called Dare Me, and you guys need to be watching Dare Me too, because listen, I've been watching that too, so I'm gonna have to put that on the menu. So I was like, oh, this look good. So I actually just put it on my list to watch, so I'm gonna try to like get through it or get through a couple of episodes this week, and I'll report back to you. But yes, come on, Purple Pants Posse, y'all better read my mind. Rumble underscore Patton wrote, I saw that you also love shrimp tails. Please tell everyone how good they are. Oh, God. So y'all know I'm a little, you know, I'm bougetto. I'm bougie and I'm classy. But I love shrimp. And sometimes the best part of the shrimp for me is the tails. Listen, I will pick the tails off. So earlier this week when me, Wendell, Desi, Lauren, and Ramona went out, what did I get? I got like some tacos, and Wendell got like the shrimp and pasta dish. And so anytime I go out with Wendell and he gets shrimp, he already know what the deal is. So mind you, he put his little shrimp tails to the side. And mind you, I forget how strange it looks, because people are like, oh my God, are you really eating them? Yup. Listen, I grew up with a single mother, okay, with four children, all right? Some of us got the shrimp, other of us got the tails, okay? You got to make it work. In my opinion, I feel like all the protein in the tail, okay, is so good, and especially if it's like a sushi roll, like a shrimp tupora. Ooh, let me wet the whistle, because y'all getting me hungry, and y'all know I'm on this diet, because you know I got to slim down, you know, 2020. Knew me, I'm burning it up. I'm gonna burn them calories up. Hold on, let me wet the whistle. But yes, don't judge me. I like shrimp tails, and I be tearing them up, okay? So Lauren.E.Stratford writes, the video Queen Parvati posted about King Wendell. Woo! Now y'all know season 40 is coming up, okay? Winners at War. And so I guess a fan had sent Wendell, somebody ordered a cameo. And first of all, you know, if you know cameos, you know, baby showers, weddings, somebody's birthday, you know I'm on cameo. So holla at your boy. So somebody booked Parvati for a cameo. I guess the basis was like, you know, their friends were talking smack about Parvati. And you know, Parvati's video back was like telling them why Parvati is Queen Parvati. And in the video, she was talking about newer winners like Wendell. Like, what does their resume look like? They don't, you know, Wendell might be nice to look at and he could build good furniture, but they don't got nothing on the Queen Parvati. Woo! And Wendell posted that to his Instagram. And you know me, I had to take the Twitter, say, ooh, baby, you know season 40 gonna be good when they subtweeting on cameos. So, oh, you guys, this puts me, oh, let me wet my whistle. Let me wet the whistle. This puts me in such an awkward predicament because, you know, Parvati is one of like my top 10 players. I love Parvati. She's like, you know, y'all know I love Saree.
I love poverty. You know, when I was on Kagiana and I did my exit interview, that was back when Poverty had like the exit interview show. They flew me out to LA. I was with Poverty. I loved Poverty. And you know, I stand for Queen Poverty. Okay. I'm here for it. But at the end of the day, listen, when DZ, that's my brother. Okay. I don't play about my brother. Okay. I don't play about my brother. So on this one, I'm going to have to take my brother's side. Okay. I am loyal to a fault. Okay. And Wendell ain't been nothing but a brother to me. So listen, what's up Poverty, pull up. Okay, you warring with Wendell, you warring with me. And listen, that goes to anybody else out there. Listen, my Twitter fingers are ready when this season start. Y'all come for my brother, I'm coming at y'all. I'm reading them comments. Okay, I'm protective about my brother. Okay, but seriously, I love Poverty, but I love, you know, a friendly competition. Ooh, it's so good. I cannot wait. I do not know if y'all are so excited for Winners at War as I am, but I am. But for real, I'm riding with my brother. So what's up, Poverty? Pull up. Okay. Okay. We don't play that. We don't play that. Then our last Purple Pants picks come from the one and only Sarah. What do you recommend for water bottles? And would you spend $50 on a hydro flask? Whew, $50 for a water bottle. Now listen, y'all know me, I be on a budget. So my favorite type of water bottles are the Nagina. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, but I feel like I am. Nagina water bottles. Nalgene. They're like the clear water bottles. And so I always had the 32 ounces, and they come in like bright colors. I have like a pink one, I have a purple one, I have a green one. But one of my coworkers, Mike, one day at work, he came in with the 42 ounce bottle. So I had ordered it off of Amazon. So I love the Nagina water bottles. They're just like so cute. They're clear. And it's so funny, $50 for a hydro flask. Now, you know, my best friend, Dara, she's got two children, Peyton and Moreland. They're my godchildren. And you know, Peyton is, he is just turned 12 and he's 6'1". My best friend, Dara, she's really tall. She's like 6 foot. And her fiance, Akeem, he's like 6'4". So, you know, they children, like Peyton, he's going to be like 6'7". So Peyton is like so big. And so he's like the cutest ever. And so for Christmas this year, he wanted like such reasonable things. I'm like, I call him Stinky Butt. I'm like, Stinky Butt, what do you want for Christmas? He's like, Uncle Bryce, a controller and a hydro flask water bottle. I'm like, listen, a water bottle, fine. Listen, the controller was $20. I looked up them hydro flask bottles. $50. I had to text my best friend there. I said, oh girl, you gonna have to get that water bottle, because I'm not paying 50. Listen, I'll go to Five and Below, I get them 6 water bottles from Five and Below, and they have the hydro flask, like, you know, that tin metal you know, container, like a hydro flask, but for $50. So my best friend ended up getting him a hydro flask for Christmas. But like, who wants a hydro flask water bottle? But Peyton is really big into basketball. He goes to like basketball practice like 3 nights a week. Mind you, my baby is going to be a NBA star and whatever else he wants to be. But that, I mean, I am here for, you know, keeping your ice cold, your hot tots. But listen, I can get that with a regular old water bottle. I get 5 water bottles for Five and Below and keep it cute. Okay. But you know, I looked up the reviews on Hydro Flask, and they have nothing but really, 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 really good reviews. But baby, I can't listen. $50. You know how much box wine I could get for $50? But I must be a bad godfather, because I definitely did not get that $50 water bottle. Nope, not today, not tomorrow. Now, maybe, listen, Hydro Flask, you want to send something over to the Purple Pants podcast so I could test it out? Listen, we could do that. But whew, Chile. No. Burn it up. We ain't wasting that money like that. No. All right, now we've got our advice with Bryce. Here's our advice with Bryce this week. Ooh, it's a really good one. It says, baby boy, my name's Mike. I don't need to be anonymous, because the advice I'm asking for is for my brother Joe. We are first generation Italians, and our father and his entire family resides in Italy. I've traveled there with my father several times, but my brother has not. This side of the family has never met my brother, only seen him via photos. The issue comes in with my brother being afraid to fly, which I understand, but I feel he's letting his fear cripple great life experiences he could have. He refuses to travel anywhere for fear something might go wrong. Our dad is getting up there in age, so the opportunity for my brother to have this experience will not be available much longer, and I feel my brother will regret it if he never gets the chance to meet this side of the family at least once. They speak no English, and my brother and I don't speak Italian. So I ask you this, how do you advise advise getting over fears that may be in the way of living your life. Thanks, Bryce. As a proud member of the Purple Pants Posse, I would appreciate any insight you might give, Mike. Well, thank you, Mike, for the question. I think it's great. And Joe, since I know Joe listens to the podcast, I will speak directly to you. So I think your brother is right. And I feel like you are missing out on life. However, you know, me, someone in the mental health field, I definitely can relate to fears and, you know, not wanting to travel out of the fear of something going on. We live in a crazy world. But what I would say to you is that anything can go wrong. I know that you guys have a bowling alley. Something will go wrong at the bowling alley. Like, anything can happen anywhere. So you can't let that stop you from living your life. And what I would say to you is that this has to come from some type of trauma, whether it be in your childhood or something. And so what I would encourage you to do, Joe, is to maybe speak with somebody, like, you know, a friend, a counselor, a mental health professional, to kind of figure out where this, like, anxiousness comes from of you thinking that something's going wrong. And, you know, I know you guys love Survivor and the game of Survivor. How do you think those people feel, like, traveling the unknown, not knowing who you're playing with, traveling across the world to playing Survivor? You kind of have to, like, face your fears. And so I think that it's important, and definitely, like, you know, with your family and your dad and getting to meet the other side of your family is super important. And those memories are some memories that you can take on, like when you get married, to your children, if you decide to have children, or just stories that you can tell. So I definitely agree with your brother that it's something that I feel like you should do. However, you have to be ready to do that. So I feel like if you talk to a therapist, a friend, and really kind of, like, you know, another good thing that I always get, sometimes Gangsta Gurry is always on me about writing things down, like write it down as to what you are actually scared of, because obviously it's something from stopping you. Obviously, I know you deeply care for your family and you love your family and you want to be there for them. But I think that it's important for us to, like, you know, work on ourselves. You know me, I'm on a road for a better Bryce. And so I think that you should be on a road as well, too, a road for a better Joe, and kind of working on what is stopping you from, like, you know, traveling anywhere. Like, you know me, I have the travel bug. I love to get up and go. And, you know, sometimes I do get nervous about traveling international, like something could happen. But hey, the way I look at it is, listen, if that's how I'm going to go, I'd rather go doing something that I love. And, you know, the world is so big. And that's the one thing that I love, is that, like, when I travel, I'm always like, oh my God, the world is so big. It's got so much opportunity. It's got so much, like, people live so much different than us. And it gives you a greater appreciation for home. It, like, you grow as a person. And so I definitely would say take the time to write out actually what you're actually scared of and talk that over with somebody, because in reality, I really feel like that you would be able to face your fears, but you have to be ready. You know, I can't push you to, your brother can't push you to, you, that's something that you've got to work on. So I challenge you, Joe, in 2020, this is your year to conquer your fears. And, you know, listen, if your fear of flying, you know, statistically, you are more likely to get into a car crash than a plane crash. Now, baby, when you travel international, listen, you get free wine. Listen, Xanax, you know, if you meet with a counselor, you can tell them, like, hey, I am nervous of flying. Maybe they can prescribe you, like, a low dosage of Xanax. And listen, the one thing about Xanax, it will put you out. You take a little Xanax, you go to sleep. I just Google how far from Philadelphia to Italy. It is about 7 hours and 55 minutes. That's a work shift, 8 hours. You could get a red eye, go to sleep, and you be there. You drink some bottle of wine, take a Xanax, boop, go to sleep. Get you a little sleeping pill, go to sleep, and you'll be able to experience. And I guarantee you, the experience will so outweigh your fears. But I am so sympathetic to, you know, there's so many things in life that I'm scared of, and there's so many things that I don't want to do, and sometimes it holds me back. So I definitely can relate to you on that. However, what I can say is the amount of times that I've conquered my fear or done something that I was scared of, even this podcast, I was scared to do a podcast. I was scared of failure. I was scared no one would want to listen to me. No one would want to hear what I would have to say. Who wants to hear what a third boot from Kagyan has to say? But I took a leap of faith and I went out there, and look, the Purple Pants podcast is out here popping. And I guarantee you, if something, you know, God forbid anything were to happen for your dad, like, I'm sure that would be something that you will regret. And I definitely don't want you to live your life with regrets. In 2020, we burning up those fears. And so I challenge you to, like, you know, and start small.
Take a road trip with you and your brother. It's great that you got a brother that cares about you and supports you. Take a road trip. You know, start off small. And then, like, you know, or maybe even take a small plane trip somewhere, an hour ride, so that you can get the feel. Flying is fun. I like it. It got a little humming noise, like, put you right to sleep. Listen, I love flying international, okay? Where's the wine, okay? Take me a little sleeping pill. Boop, I'm out like a light. And trust me, but I know that it's definitely hard. So you just have to, like, you know, try to face your fear. But I really feel like it starts with, like, you going back to figuring out what is that trauma in my life. And it comes from some self-reflection, some open and honest self-reflection of, like, what's this trauma here that I'm so scared of? And then, you know, writing down what you're scared of. And then for everything that you're scared of, write four things to each thing that you're scared of how that you could overcome, or what the positive would be of overcoming what you're scared of. And I guarantee you, Joe, that the greater, the positive will so outweigh the negative. But listen, you know me, I'm a check up on you. I'm a FaceTime you and say what's up, because we want to have this conversation as well too, because I really want to know. So when you hear this advice with Bryce, I want you to DM me and we're going to set up a time so that we can FaceTime and talk, because I really want you to get, I want you to be the best Joe that you can be. And 2020 is our year. We're not letting anxiety, we're not letting depression stop us. Like, listen, we go together. So we doing this together, okay, Purple Pants Posse? So listen, if any of you guys know Joe, I need for you guys to send him some positive affirmations. I need for you guys to get up on him and let him know that it's going to be all right. But there's a huge world out there. There's amazing people out there. You never know, the love of your life could be over there. And so you just have to take that first step. And I know that it's hard, but listen, here at the Purple Pants Posse, we got you, baby boy. So listen, don't worry about it, and we will be in contact, okay? So that's our advice with Bryce. That was a good one. All right, so here's another segment that I'm introducing to the Purple Pants Podcast. Now listen, I don't know if your parents are like this, but my mom on Instagram, my mom on Facebook, and every morning my mom sends you know, everyone, we don't have a family group chat because, listen, I don't talk to everybody. That's a story for another story. But my mom sends individual messages to, like, you know, my sister, my aunts, my uncles, of, like, little positive memes. And, like, you know, she posts them to Facebook on her story. Child, my mom know how to make a story now. So she be posting stories. Okay. Wendell be texting me like, oh my God, I really loved your mom's message today. I'm like, oh, don't feed into that. But I really do love it, because, like I said, I've been, like, you know, going through my own battle these past couple of weeks, and the messages that my mom's been sending me has been, like, amazing. So I text Barb, I said, girl, I need you on a Purple Pants Podcast. And you know, she was ready. So every other week I want to do a Barb's message. So this week, here we are. Here's Barb's message.
Hi, this is Miss Barb, Bryce's mom. So every day I send to my sons, close friends, and family affirmations to encourage and prayerfully brighten their day. With this in mind, Bryce has asked me to share the same with his Purple Pants Podcast listeners. So listeners, listen up. No matter how you feel, I want you to get up, dress up, show up, and never, never give up. I hope this encourages someone. Bye.
All right. Thanks, Barb, for Barb's message. And so I'm going to bring that to you bi-weekly. A little positive affirmation from my mom, Miss Barb. Barb from Philly, not to be confused with Barb from the Midwest. And before we close out, you know, we can't conclude a podcast without the Freak of the Week. And so this Freak of the Week, you know, Jim Russo, you know, the rap Patreon himself, sent me a little DM and was like, I nominate this guy for Freak of the Week. Now, listen, if you guys are watching The Circle on Netflix, you know, we have a new character on there, and his name is Ed. Okay. And I looked Ed up. Mind you, Jim sent me a photo. I said, ooh, okay. He sent me a little shirtless photo from 2017. But on Ed's Instagram, which is Ed 610 underscore, he got this video of him jumping off of his car doing a backflip. Now, babe, don't hurt yourself. But what is so weird is Jed Bush is going on. Ed is from the Philly area. He's from Conshohocken. And at my old job, where he is doing this backflip off of his
truck. I know exactly where that's at. I used to drive by there every day. Okay, baby boy. So yes, you will see that video of Ed jumping off the back of his, not the back, but he doing a backflip off the roof of his trunk. Okay. He the freak of the week. Ed 610 underscore. Y'all know what to do. Let him know. He the freak of the week this week, baby boy. And I did slide in them DMs. I said, what's up? I'm from Philly. He was like, what's up? Another Philly boy. And I did invite him to Wendell and I's premiere party of Winners at War. So fingers crossed that Ed will come. But make sure y'all let him know he the freak of the week. And this is going to conclude this week's episode of the Purple Pants Podcast. If you are a new listener, welcome. You are now We Go Together. I need you to subscribe. I need you to write a review. I need you to rate me. Give me them 5 stars and show your boy some love. I appreciate it. Can you believe this is our 21st episode, baby? We is now legal. We can wet our whistle, okay? Let me wet the whistle. Ooh. Mm. But seriously, guys, I thank you so much for your support. Listen, and I'll see you next week. But you already know.
It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public. Might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.